Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Isaiah 64, return for the sake of your servants. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Dear friends of Christ, have you ever woken up in the morning and then not been able to go back to sleep again? Insomnia, where you wake up and your mind is reeling and you're going through all the things of the previous day or all the things in the coming day, all those concerns, worries, family issues that we have. Well, Isaiah's mind was reeling too, reeling with all the issues that the people of Israel were going through. And he understood his beloved people. They were once again falling into false gods, falling away from the Lord. As the children of Israel were apt to do, so very frequently, every 40 years, they'd come to the Lord and then fall away, and the next generation come to the Lord, next generation fall away, every 40 years like a roller coaster. Come, fall away, come, fall away, and here they're in that sick process of laying aside the Lord, and the Lord is going to have to punish them, and the Lord is going to have to discipline them, to wake them up, to make them return, in which God does not want to have to do, but he either disciplines them or they wander away forever in unbelief and darkness. Isaiah is reeling with all those thoughts. What's God going to do now? How's God going to do it? Why won't the people turn? Why won't the people come back? Why won't the people listen? And so he takes all of those concerns and he turns them into a prayer. We might call it our Advent prayer. It's a little intense. And he asks God to help. Come. Be with your people. And if necessary, rip open the heavens and come down. Do whatever you have to do. But if you have to come down, come down. He pleads because the people are sinful. They've wandered from the Lord and they desperately need his help. And the message is for the people to repent. The message is for the people to turn back to God. Why? Because he's the potter. We're just the clay. He molds and he shapes us. We understand Isaiah's prayer because there are times where we can't sleep and our minds reel with thoughts and concerns for people we know and love. And we turn our thoughts and concerns into prayers too as we formulate all that. And we say, Dear Lord, please be with us. And our prayers can be intense. Dear Lord, please help us. Step into my life. We want to see. We want to know you're here. Come down. And we mean it. If that's necessary, come. Come down. Well, our Lord has heard our prayers. Our Lord has come down. And he sent his Son. Not only has he come down, the Bible says he's coming down again. Our gospel speaks to all that. And so our Advent prayer, come Lord Jesus. Advent is a season of repentance, of introspection, of returning, of expecting the Lord to come. So we give him our sins and then he comes to us with his mercy, with his grace. It's always there to cleanse, to wash, to prepare so we might walk with him and walk in his ways, that we might choose to walk in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of God, rather than the ways of unrighteousness in the darkness of our sin. Isaiah prays for us. You, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you make us wander from your ways? Why harden our hearts so that we will not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance. Isaiah understood the rebellious hearts of these sinful people. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. They were calloused. They were against God. He saw firsthand how the Lord had chosen to harden their hearts because of their rebellion. You don't want to believe in me? I won't let you believe in me. You want to walk away from me? I'll let you walk away. But there are repercussions. There are concerns that will happen as you do that, says the Lord. The message to Isaiah, go tell the people what I say, wasn't a happy message. It was a message Isaiah didn't even want to deliver to the people. Because God knew his people weren't going to repent. God knew in their stubbornness that they were going to reject his ways. And they hardened their hearts. And this call to repentance would only serve to drive their hearts more hardened, drive them further from the Lord. Don't you dare tell us to repent. Don't you dare tell us what to do. And Isaiah prayed, make the heart of this people calloused then. Make their hearts calloused. Make their ears dull. Close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back. If they're going to be so stubborn, don't let them turn. If they're going to be so stubborn, don't let them come back. It's an intense prayer. God gave Isaiah that very difficult message to deliver these rebellious people. To deliver them. We hear the Lord's ominous words of warning right off the bat in Isaiah chapter 1. I reared up my children and they rebelled against me. Those words are words for you and me. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. Sounds like our society today. People once faithful have now decided to follow other things. They've decided to follow their own lives, their own desires, their own choices, their own sinful hearts, and they choose to do things their way. They choose to turn from the Lord, from the direction of Scripture. They choose. And the result? Their hearts are hardened. Their hearts are calloused. They can't believe. They can't see God. They can't hear the message because they no longer understand it. But Isaiah has a message for the heart of heart, for those who refuse to turn, for those who are not listening, for the stubborn. Repent or expect eternal regret. In our gospel lesson, Jesus gives us this warning. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And Isaiah prays to the Lord, return for the sake of your servants. Unfortunately, sometimes our servant hearts are stubborn. Sometimes we, the people of God, will not listen. And instead we choose to rebel, to do things our way. We do it on a daily basis. It's a lot like the parable of the prodigal son, as you well know. The boy wanted to leave his father and live in the ways that he wanted to live. So he took his inheritance and he wandered from home. He disappeared. But soon as he lived in wild living, all his money disappeared. And then his joy disappeared. And then he found himself in a pigsty. And then he came to his senses. He returned to his father. He came to his senses and he changed his mind. He repented. Turning, repentance, changing. It's the call of Advent. It's the call of Jesus. How many times in the Gospels did Jesus say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Sometimes, in order to get us to repent, God allows our lives to sink deep into sin. He lets us go. Because what kind of loving God would it be if he grabbed you by the cuff of your collar, shook you and said, I will not let you leave me. So he lets us go. You say, but that's not loving. Well, the other choice isn't really loving either. If you want to go, then he'll let you go. If you want to wander, then he lets you wander. And he gives us over to the results of our own sinful actions. And he does so so that the accumulation of our sinful choices, the accumulation of the brokenness in our lives, sends our lives spiraling downward. And we feel the darkness. God wants us to come to our senses, to be in a pigsty. He wants us to repent and to return and to call upon him and live. Listen again to Isaiah's prayer. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down and make your name known to your enemies. And cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. The word rending or tearing is that word where in the Old Testament people would, to show demonstrably their grief, they would tear their clothes in grief. And God has torn his heart in grief that the children of Israel won't call upon him, won't worship him, won't know that he's the creator of heaven and earth, that he's the one who is always there for them. He tears his heart and he rends open the heavens and he sends the solution, Jesus Christ, and he comes down despite their rebellious hearts. Isaiah uses a metaphor to teach us about the power of God's judgment. God has the power to throw sinful unbelievers into the lake of eternal fire. The bodies of the unbelievers burning eternally. Kind of the same way we might scoop up all the dry twigs in our yard and throw them into the fire. Dead souls and bodies will burn. And if you throw those dead twigs into a fire, they burn quickly. If only the Lord would deliver them. If only the Lord would come down to save them. If only the Lord would rip open the heavens. But their greatest enemy was their own desires. The greatest enemy was the darkness of their sin. And Isaiah prayed, God, deliver them. Deliver them from such pestilence and eternal condemnation. Turn their calloused hearts. Deliver them as you've always delivered your people. The Lord has done awesome things in the past. The Lord has delivered in the past. Isaiah writes, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. God delivers his people. He always has. He always does. He always will. You open up your Bibles and you'll discover how he delivered Noah from the flood. You open up your Bibles and you'll discover how he delivered the people of Israel from Egypt under the oppression of the Pharaoh. And you'll discover how he opened up the Red Sea so they could pass through on dry ground. You'll discover how he delivered them by allowing the waters to fall on the Egyptian army, destroying them so that they were no more. If God did these things in the past, what is he doing today? And he certainly will do them again in the future. Do you have any doubts that the Lord's going to deliver you from all your troubles, from all your worries, from all your darkness, from all your sin? Do you have any doubts that he's the deliverer? The Lord is always stepping into your life. He never stops coming. He never stops stepping into your life. Do you have any doubts that the Lord can step in and deliver you from your situation? That he will one day? And one day you'll say, the Lord has done all things well. I'm in paradise. I'm in a perfect, glorious place, my new body on the new earth. Do you have doubts he's delivering you? He's delivered his people in the past, but look also to the present. How many times has the Lord stepped into your life? How many times in your prayers has the Lord delivered you? Isaiah tells us, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The hand of the Lord has come. During the season of Advent, we're not only waiting for Christmas to arrive, we're waiting for Christ to return, to come back, to make it all right, to come again in the clouds of glory. We're also waiting for Him to take care of this problem of sin, this problem of darkness, this problem of separation. And we turn to Him for help. You came to help. You came to the help of those who gladly do right, Isaiah prayers. Praise. Remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? You know, there are some times where we gladly do what's right. Sometimes we follow the ways of the Lord and we do the things we know is right, are right. However, there are also all those other times, those times where we walk in our own ways, we do our own thing, we disobey, we continue to sin against the Lord. There's no way we can deliver ourselves from our own affliction, no matter how hard we try. We fail. Can't help ourselves. How desperate is our situation? God's Word dares to tell us that even our righteous acts, even the good things that we do, that we think are good, are a stench before the Lord, a foul stench. Isaiah writes, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name. No one strives to lay a hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and you made us waste away because of our sins. If you read those words, you'll quickly learn that you can't put any hope in ourselves. We waste away on our own. There's no way we can somehow deliver ourselves, make things better. We waste away. We're unclean. Even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Again, the words of Isaiah. We are all shriveled up like a leaf, like the wind. Our sins sweep us away. The leaves wither and perish, and so will we. Isaiah 40 says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. So where's our hope to be found? Who's going to deliver us? Who's going to come to save such a hopeless people? Our hope, our life, our salvation is found in the Lord. Why? Because He came down. He tore open the heavens and He sent His Son. Listen again to these comforting words. Yet, O Lord, You're the Father. We're the clay. You're the potter. We are all the work of Your hand. We are the work of God's hand. And God, in His hand, sent His Son to earth. Ripped open the heavens and sent His Son. And His Son in His hands threw them open to be nailed on the cross. And with those hands, He was buried and rose again. So that He might, with those hands, embrace your body close to Him. And on that day of resurrection, call your name and embrace you to eternal life. To deliver you. To give you hope and life and salvation. Today He comes. He comes to give you life. He comes to you. He comes in your despair. He comes in your brokenness. He comes in the hectic life in which you're living. He comes in your grief. Our faithful God comes. And by His hand, He keeps you in the true faith. By His hand, He guides you and directs you. By His hand, He works everything out, all the things that are lousy, and He works them all together for your good. Because He's God, He's the one who delivers. And so we pray our Advent prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.